If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament. We want to welcome every single person who's joined us on the web. And you're here. We just want you to know you're loved and you're valuable. Thanks so much for taking time out of your moment to be a part of this. Why don't we clap our hands for all those who have joined us on our online campus. Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, verse 22 through 28. I did something different this week. I normally, wherever I'm reading or studying or we're having a thought, so you study along those lines. I've been reading in the book of Psalms, so I'm speaking a lot out of the book of Psalms because it's feeding my soul and feeding my heart. But I did something this week, early in the week. I knew that this is a celebration weekend. We're moving, and of course, this is going to continue to function and do a million things out of this facility. Matter of fact, here's one thing I love about this facility. We will only have one weekend break where church will not be right here in this facility. The weekend of Easter, we're moving our Spanish campus here. So at 1 o'clock on Easter, our Spanish campus has service here, and then on and on at 12 o'clock. So isn't that great that church continues on in this great facility? You ought to clap your hands for that. Using our space to reach people. This is a great space. So a lot of different things. But it is last weekend that our services on the weekend are in this facility. So a lot of different thoughts, a lot of emotions for us. 14 years we've had church in this facility. It was half this size for about 4 or 5 of those years. And then we made it larger. But so Delin and I, a lot of thoughts and a lot of you that have shared in moments here. We'll talk about that. But I just said, Lord, just give me a verse. Just drop a verse in my heart. And that was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, Lord, we're here and we're waiting. We need a verse. And on Friday, I just began to sense something. And yesterday, I felt like the Lord dropped a verse, a specific verse for this moment for us. It's in Acts chapter 17. And I'll read verse 22 through 28. This is where Paul is in Athens and he's reaching people. And because of the times, the people don't know a lot about the Lord. They're not familiar with grace. They're not familiar with the truth of Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in him. So Paul is trying to communicate. And because he's communicating to people who don't know, he finds an object of something that's valuable to them. He uses a creative method to speak a timeless message, which is exactly what we do today. The message is sacred. Our methods can change to reach people who are unfamiliar with the gospel. And that's always been a value for us as a church. So Paul actually does this right here in the book of Acts. And so he speaks to them. It says in verse 22, he stood up in the meeting and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of your worship," he's actually using the objects of their worship. He says, "they even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. I'm going to take something that's familiar to you and I'm going to use it to speak a truth about where you're at and what God has for you." That's basically what he's doing. And he goes on to tell them, he says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of the heaven and earth and does not live," I want you to hear this, "does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, and that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live." If you were supposed to be born in the 1800s, you would have been born in the 1800s. If you were supposed to be born in Russia, you would have been born in Russia. You thank God for the geography. You're right where you're supposed to be. Can I have a good amen? Amen. You're right in the moment you're supposed to be living in. God set it into place. And said, "God did this," I want you to hear this, "God did this so that men should seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." That is the plan of salvation. The plan of God is that men would seek him, men and women, people would seek him and that they would find him because he is reaching out to them. He has already reached out to them through sending his son Jesus where they can find salvation. Now here's a key verse. "For in him we live and move and have our being." In him we live, move, and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring. I like all of that passage. I like it all. But I love the phrase in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live, we move. In God we move. We live, we move, we have our being. When I came to Christ, when I was 18 years old, I got involved with a church. They were fired up, man. They did crazy praise. It was crazy church. I haven't loved crazy church myself. I don't like predictability, so I like crazy church. And it was crazy church. You never know what they were going to do. And we sang a song that was this verse. In him we live, we move, and have our being. It went a little like something like, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. And it would get faster. And move and have our being. Make a joyful noise, sing it to the Lord. Tell him of his love, dance before him, make it joyful. We sang that song. Does anybody remember that song? Y'all some old school worshipers. Where is the band? We got to get this in the repertoire. We're bringing it into the repertoire. It's a great song. In him we live, move. In God you will move. God does not like a staying in one place. God wants us to keep growing. The body of Christ is an organism. It's always changing. That's why I said it's a body, not a company or a corporate. It's not even much of an organization. It's a living, breathing body of Christ. That's what the church is to be. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. You know what the writer was saying there? In him we have everything. In him is everything. That word move right there in the Greek means to go. It means to move in a new direction. It means to transition. I love this meaning. It means to stir. God likes stirring your pot. Right when you got it all neat. Here's my life. Some of you are planners. Life is going to be neat. It's got to be just right here. What are we doing next month? What are we doing next year? What's going on? I got it all planned. Retirement. This is how I'm going to. It's going to go like this. We have kids here. They're going to go to school here. They're going to get married here. Here's where we're going to. Guess what? God will look at that and say, that's amazing. Take a whirl. Why? Because in our predictability, we place God, faith, trust in a box and we put it on a shelf and we live our life and we call on him during emergencies. God says, no, I will stir anybody who follows me. Their life will be stirred up. They will live and they will move. In him, we live, we move, we have our being. God is a God that likes to move. Now, there are some of you, when you hear the word move, you get nauseated. We first started our church, we had a moving ministry. There wasn't a lot to do, so we started moving people. And so on the weekends, people would call the church and say, hey, we want to move. We had a criteria, single mom, military wife, widows, things like that, tough tragedy situation. We would go and move. And so during that time, we had a little time on our hands and we'd do it on the weekend. A lot of times we'd do it on Monday and Tuesday because I cut grass where the church started on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, did church on Sunday. Then we pastor on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And a lot of people were helping. And we said, let's do some things. So we started moving, and I tell you, we got busy. We were moving. Lord, we're moving everybody, and we got good at it. I mean, it's an art to moving. And we'd move people. They'd call us. And a lot of times we'd tell them, hey, won't you go ahead and go to the other house? We'll get this. If they were on a second story, we'd open up the window and drop stuff down right there. I mean, we knew how to get couches downstairs. We could move a refrigerator. I don't know how many pianos I moved during that time. I mean, we moved pool tables, pianos, you name it. We moved it. And one time we had moved a lady. We went over there, and she said, I just have a little bit of stuff. I'd heard that. It'd only take a few guys a couple hours. Okay. We showed up and we looked at our house and said, well, it's not too bad. We can get down 4 or 5 guys, had a truck and a trailer. It was a Saturday morning. I said, we'll get this done. And then we go and she said, I need to show you a few items in the attic. I mean, that's an indication. Looked up in the attic. There was like a whole house full of stuff. Wow. And then we started getting all that. That's like all day Saturday. So we've been there all day. Later on, we were leaving. She says, oh, I've got some stuff in the garage. You don't have a car in there? Went around there, and she had about 18 dressers full of clothes. Y'all dressing in the carport? Why y'all dressing in the carport? So that we came back after church the next day and started loading these dressers. And after about we had like two or three more, everybody rolled, and it was me and one of our pastors, Pete Wunstall, in his little Nissan. Which then everybody would say, hey, we'll get the last thing. It was late on a Sunday afternoon. We loaded up the last two dressers, and we're getting in the car. I said, Brother Pete, should we secure that? No, get in the car. Put some tape on the drawers. We got to go. I've been here long enough. We jumped in that thing. Man, we got to get out of here. A woman drive me crazy. We got to go. We got in the car. We took off from Prairieville, coming down Jefferson Highway. We rounded Highland Road, coming up LA Express. We got there. We taking a right at McDonald's. I mean, we are rolling. It is getting late in the day. We got to get home. We've been moving this girl for 2 days. So we take a turn. Right when we took a turn, he had a little lowrider, one of them Nissan. Come on, G-Town, Santa Monica, back in the day, lowrider. Working it, boy. Lowrider. Get a little lower. I mean, he was working it. We took that turn. All of a sudden, I felt a lunge. I looked behind me, and one of those dressers was up in the air. Ah! And he just rolling. Brother Pete, we lost one. Boom! Million pieces. He whips around. Turn back around. Because those things beat you to death. Come around. I said, Brother Pete, what are we going to do? He said, don't look like but a bunch of junk. Let's keep rolling. She'll never miss it. So he slowed down to about 35. Like, Brother Pete, we got to go in the name of the Lord. We got to go. I remember rolling down the window at 35. We rode by that dresser that was all over Airline Highway. And all I saw was kids' underoos, like Power Ranger. Rolling down Airline Highway. We rolled. It's like, Brother Pete, I don't know if that's right. No, it's the Lord. Let's go. It's like, well, you my elder, brother. I submit. I didn't even get out of the truck. I set the dresser on the driveway. I said, Brother Pete, you have to talk to her. I don't feel no part of that. We love y'all. Here's your dresser. God bless you. Everybody got a moving story. Can I have an amen? Everybody's moved stuff before. You've moved. And there are lessons in we're moving. Our weekend experience. We're moving to a new facility. There are lessons in moving that I believe you can learn some things. Here's the first lesson in moving. I think it helps us as a church. Helps us as individuals. When your life goes through transition. When you're moving into a new season. When you sense a change in your life. There's application here for your life. Here's the first thing. Tie it down. In life, when you go through a transition, you better tie your marriage down. You better tie your parenting down because the enemy will come against your life. When you go through a transition, the enemy will try to shake things in your life. You got to tie some things down. Make sure things are tied down when you go through a transition in your life. As a church, we got to tie some things down. Here's the second thing that I think is so important when you go through a move or a shift or an adjustment is this right here. Double check. Double check some things. There are some things in life that are worth double checking. Are you all right, baby? We need to check on our kids. We need to make sure what's going on in their life. Your children are worth double checking. Your resources are worth double checking. Your faith in God is worth double checking. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Double check it. Make sure it's tied down. Make sure it's there. Make sure it goes along through the bumps and the curves. Come on, somebody. Here's the third thing you want to do when you move. You got to call your friends because nobody wants to move alone. How many knows you don't want to move it by yourself? You want to invite people over. Now, here's the deal. You may lose some friends because I'm going to spend 2 hours and it's 8 hours. Or invite somebody you don't want to be friends with no more. There we go. Tell them to move the freezer. But you're going to move. You want to let people know you're moving. You want to forward your address. You want to let people know we have changed our address. Can I tell you something? This city needs to know that you're moving as it relates to church. Let the community know, gosh, look what God has done. I'd love for you to come visit our new house. I'd love for you to come see where we're moving. It's a good time to invite people to church because the world is going crazy. Amen. Earthquakes, craziness. People are looking for truth. This is a great time to tell them about your Jesus and what he's done in your life. Let people know. Invite someone to church for Easter. Invite someone next weekend for our first service. Invite friends. And then the fourth thing that I think is so important as it relates to moving is you need to check certain things. There are certain things you don't want to forget. It's those valuable things. Certain things that are so important. We got to make sure when we leave here, we bring that with us. We cannot forget that. Same way in life. There are certain things in life. No matter what journey, no matter where the journey takes you, you need to make sure those values and those moments go with you. There's some things you don't want to forget. You know, there's some things I do not want to forget that have happened in this room. We've had some amazing moments in this room with God. I don't want to forget them. I don't want to leave them behind. First time I walked in this building was through those doors. The building was half this size, 600 seats. Later on, we made it this size, 1,100, 1,200 seats. I walked in this facility, and I remember looking over and saying, we will never fill this room. This is huge. I said, it will take us 10 years to fill this room. We were a church of 200, moving into an auditorium that set 600 people. That's a bigger move than we're moving right now. That was huge for us. And a year later, we filled it up with the multiple services and multiple sites. We've had some great moments here. Can I ask you this question? Let's just do a little quick little thought. How many here, you got married in this room? Just lift your hand. All over across this. You got married in this room. Let me ask you, how many are here and your children or your grandchildren have been dedicated on this stage? Raise your hand. Holy cow. Look around. Leave that hand up. Look. Look at all the bay. There are memories here. How about this? Is there anyone who ever went through something, needed prayer for their physical body, or you're going through a dark season in your life, and you came forward to this altar, and God met you here? Raise up your hand. We don't want to forget that. We don't want to forget. We can't leave that behind. Don't leave it behind. It's more of a personal question. Is there anybody here who you met Jesus, or you came out of a backsliding moment, or God turned your life around in a moment in this room? Maybe you came forward to an altar, you filled out a connect card, you came to Christ in something that happened in this room. Is there anyone here who came to Christ in this room? I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to forget it. And I don't want you to ever forget it. Because God has been good to us. God has been faithful. And we got to make sure that we take that with us. Oh, there's going to be great moments here, and we're going to continue to do church and students and all kinds of things. Every day this building will be used. But our weekend moments, things that God has met us with, we're moving. And you know what? When you move, there are certain things that you keep an eye on. Dylan and I moved recently, and you know what we were doing? We had a little box of things that cannot be replaced. Birth certificates, baby pictures. I think McCall's baby blanket was in there. Dylan's first basketball shorts are in there. I mean, there's our wedding video. There's all these things, our passports, you know, legal things. They're in this box. And I can remember, we didn't let somebody else just put them in the truck, throw them on the back of the trailer. No, we said, mark that because they can't be replaced. If we lose these, we won't find them again. These things cannot be lost. They are our valuables. They are fragile. Matter of fact, baby, put them in the front seat of the expedition that when we roll, put them in the front seat. Can't have them in the back and watch them. Why? Because they define who we are as a family. Our history's in there. It's the Rizzo's timeline. In this little box is our life. It's our trail of trust. And it gives us fuel for the future. It's our seeds for the next moments that we will live. We're moving. And you know what? There's some things we've got to get from here to there. And you know what? It's all of our responsibilities. We got to all make sure it gets there. Can't leave it behind. Can't misplace it. Can't lose it. Why? It's irreplaceable. It describes us as a family. It's our timeline. It's our trail of time. I put some things together that I believe we've got to make sure, and we're all going to pack it together. So at the end of this weekend, we all got to make sure that this gets up there in our new home. So I put together some things. This is so important because this is a get connected altar packet. There's going to be a lot of people who walk in that building for the first time and they wonder, this is a big old building. Will I ever be noticed? Guess what? It's all of our responsibility. Let people know it's a big building, but you know what? It boils down to one person. And it doesn't matter if it's 125,000 square feet or 24,000 square feet. I'm here to meet you. I'm here to let you know that you matter to God. And all the people that came to this altar and got them a New Testament and filled out a card, guess what? We're believing it's going to happen up there also. We got to make sure this gets up there. This is something else we got to make sure. We got to make sure this gets up there. You know what that is? That is a tube of dirt that 4 years ago we gave out at our church before we broke ground on that building. We went out there and we dug in that dirt and we filled up those tubes because we wanted everybody to remember that we believe that what goes on there is holy ground. We dedicated that to the cause of Jesus Christ. We gave out dirt. You know what it says? It says foundation. It says we have a foundation. Our foundation is in Jesus Christ. We got to make sure our foundation gets up there. Some of you still have a couple. We got to make sure that gets in there. I think this is important. We got to make sure that we all play the drums. Now, we got to make sure we get our worship up there. Now, let me just tell you something. The room is different. So worship will feel different. You say, God, it just kind of feels different. It's a different room. It's a different visual experience. And we're very visual people. But we're not going to let the visual experience keep our worship away. Because the same God that meets us here is the same God that will meet us there, meet you in your car, meet you at your house. Can I have a good amen? We got to bring our worship with us. We cannot leave our worship just because the building may feel a little different. This is important. We got to bring the kids with us. Can I have a good amen? We got to feed them like crazy. We got a lot to do up there. So, matter of fact, there's a whole kids area that we've got to build out over the next year. But we've got to make sure we let our kids know that they're priority. We got to make sure that they know that. Because many of those, like Anne-Marie who took the offering, we believe in that building. Those future Anne-Maries are going to be carried in a little car seat. 10 years later, they're going to be receiving an offering. 20 years later, they're going to be going on a mission trip. Changing the world, taking their family. So we got to make sure we take our kids with us and that experience that they're going to learn. I think that's important. We got to continue to be kingdom builders because guess what? We're not finished when we walk in the building. There's a whole lot more to do for the cause of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we have 14,000 square feet that we got to build out for our children's theaters. That's got to be done the next year. So we're not continuing to say, oh, we're done now. No, we've just begun. We believe our best days are ahead. We got to keep being kingdom builders and over and above. I'll tell you something else that we got to make sure we get up there and that doesn't get lost is our passport. Why? Because God's called us to reach the world. And we're a great commission church. Every person, every nation to know Jesus Christ. When you walk in the cafe entrance, you'll see the Mission Cafe. We've just made a decision at that Mission Cafe. We called it Mission Cafe because we want to remember why we do what we do. We're on a mission from God. And all the profit that is generated in that space is going to go towards missions. Because we just feel like that's the right thing. That's who we are as a people. We got to make sure we all take our passport because from there, we're going to send people out to the nations. I think this is important. We got to make sure we all bring our oars. It's not an oar. It's a cooking for Christ spoon. Because God's going to keep stirring our pot. And we're going to keep stirring the pot to feed people. We're going to feed people spiritually. And we're going to feed people physically. We're going to keep cooking thousands of meals for people all across us. And we're going to keep reaching out through Servolution. We got to keep doing, you know, creative ideas. I believe that God has given us to define who we are. Which kind of leads me to the next thought. We got to make sure we bring this with us. Don't leave this in the closet. Check behind. Double check. Tie this thing down. Because we've got to keep our serve on. We got to keep serving a community that desperately needs Jesus Christ. And you know what else we need to bring? We need to make sure we bring our skinny jeans so that the next generation of worship leaders are there. Because all worship leaders wear skinny jeans. And our next generation, we got to make sure the next generation is that many of the things that this facility is about you. It's about you. One of the reasons why we did this was to create more space for the next generation to flourish. So we got to make sure we bring these with us. We just got to make sure Johnny Green doesn't try to get at them. Can I have a good amen? It's scary. And no matter what we do, we got to get this there. Because this is what changes lives. It's a special Bible. This is the Bible that was read in the first official thing we ever did in that building. For 90 hours, we read the scripture. We read through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and then went back and read the New Testament again, out loud. The first thing that was ever done in that facility, in our arena, together as a church, was we read the scripture. Because we are building it for the proclamation of God's word. The infallible, undeniable word of God. Matter of fact, it's built on the word of God. We're sustained by the word of God. And if the whole world and our whole country and our whole society denies it, we are dedicating that building to never turn their back on the word of God. We will hold up the word of God. We will lift up the word of God. We will not compromise the word of God. We will proclaim the word of God. If the whole world turns against it, that facility will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to make sure it gets there. Got to get the word. Boy, this is precious. That's what happened here. For 14 years, we proclaimed the word of God. You know what else? Got to get you there. You got to make sure you get there. Oh, we've enjoyed these moments. They've been sentimental all weekend, but I'll tell you what. You know what's important? You've got to get there. You know why you've got to get there? Because God doesn't dwell in a building made of bricks and sticks. He dwells in human hearts. And there will be no Jesus in that building until you walk in. But when you walk in, guess who's there? Jesus is there. And the most important thing we have in that building is the presence of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't dwell in houses built with hands. He dwells in human hearts. Can I have a good amen? So he's going to be there next weekend. He's going to be there Thursday night. He's going to be there during our prayer time. Because you and I are going to be there. We're going to lift his name up. We're going to do it all for the proclamation of the word of God. Change people's lives. It's going to be a great time. First message I ever preached at this building. It was a rough one. I got confused. I'll never forget. I confused myself in the message. I've done that before. I just get things scattered. And I preached on the walls of Jericho coming down. And I remember preaching that message. The very first sermon I preached in this room was about the walls of Jericho coming down. And about how God asked the people to walk around the building, the walls, the town, 7 times. Why would he have done that? And I wondered how many people wanted to give up. How many people wanted to quit. God, you've asked too much of us. This doesn't sound like a good plan. We feel like we're wasting our time. But they stayed surrendered to God. And God brought the walls down. And all the fear and all the anticipation, all the unknown things, they came down. God was victorious. And I remember that day asking people, is there anybody here who the wall of fear, the wall of confusion needs to come down in your life? And you need to say yes to God. There are people that said yes to God. Here we are 14 years later. And we all still deal with the same things. What are the things in our life that distract us? What are the things in our life that have tried to take over our attention? Let's turn our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because in him we live, we move, we have our being. You know what that means? In Jesus, he is our everything. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord.